I've not had a lot of time to pray about this, you know. I was getting ready to go to Sunday school, dressing to go to Sunday school when Brother Ralph called me. So I'm going to do the best I can. I want to preach this morning on a very sober subject. And turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. The Lord would help me. I pray that you'll help me this morning, this afternoon, tonight, whatever the case may be. If I say them all three, I know I've got to be right one time. Verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, listen to this. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned also, thou hast delivered thy soul. I want to preach this afternoon on this very somber subject. Why preach on hell? That's simply my text. Why preach on hell? And we must warn the wicked. And let me say right here, starting out, there's two or three messages preachers can preach, and there's a bunch you can preach, and you won't have a whole lot of trouble. But when you preach on hell or the second coming of the Lord, you are going to, and it's not the people, it's not you all I'm talking about. But you are going, the preacher is going to have to fight that spirit that makes a preacher not want to preach on hell. You just might as well get ready for it, what I'm saying. You better be prayed through when you deal with that subject, because you are going to fight all the spirits of hell. And if they can just shut us up, if they can just come down on us tight enough and shut us up, they've done their job. But God told us to warn the wicked, and God spoke to us and said for us to warn the righteous. And it is our duty to warn, to save the lives of people. And shall he that sin lives? Because somebody give them a warning. They put out the warning sign to help them. The most stern warning in the Word of God was given by Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 4 or 5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them which kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast in hell. Yea, I say unto him, fear him. Amen. Fear God.
Fear the one that has power to cast your body into hell. Amen. He said, watchmen, warn them. Warn them. Stand up there and warn the people, preacher. Amen. That's why you preach on hell, because God said to. Jesus was a hellfire preacher. And he'll say, why did Jesus do that? Why did Christ do that? I'll tell you why. Because when you die, you're going to leave this world and you're never coming back. You hear me? Amen. There are people under the sound of my voice this morning that are lost. Amen. Oh, God help us now. God help us. Number one, I want to preach to you. Number two, amen, the preaching of holiness and the preaching of hell has a restraining force upon the people. Yes, sir. You know, you can get out on the interstate and you'll say, I always do about 5 miles an hour above the speed limit. And then all of a sudden, We'll go toward Whiffle. We'll top that last hill, slide down that last hill, and all of a sudden, there's a car out there with the bubble gum machine on it. Amen. You know what the first thing you'll do is? You tell me. Huh? Hit the brake! Hit the brake, amen. Yeah, amen. So hell, the preaching of hell has a restraining force upon the people. Yeah, amen. Believe it or not, it has a restraining force. When you know, amen, when you die in your sins, that you're going to go to hell, it has a restraining force upon the people. Now, let me say this right quickly. Our church, we built this new church at the foot of Road Ridge. And where my church is at in the past has had an illustrious history of preaching. On top, if you'll go past my church up and go up on top of the mountain, you're going to see some of the finest well-kept homes anywhere in this area. You're going to see some of the finest little old mountain farms that you're going to see in this area. Amen. And you go all the way to the end of the road. There's a nice brick church out there. It's not like it once was. Amen. It's not, the same power is not in it that it once was, but it's there. Amen. And on this road, on that road ridge where I'm at the foot of, was blessed with holiness preachers. Thank God. Thank God for me that will preach holiness. Praise God. Thank God for them. Amen. And there's a lot of things, but I'm a first generation Pentecostal, but there's a lot of things I didn't know. And there's some things I found out as I live for God. But up on top of that mountain, amen, this is years and years ago, there was a godly preacher by the name of Albert Ball. And these men preached holiness or hell. Yeah, holiness or hell. And then I called Brother Philip to confirm all of this and be sure I have my facts right. Then there was the illustrious A.J. Kennedy. Then there was Charles Absher. Then there was the great Vince Wilson and George Sisk. They all, these old time preachers, amen, they got up and they preached and told people, amen, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Yes, sir. Amen. Glory to God. If you're a bootlegging, running moonshine, my God, you're going to wind up in trouble when you die. Now, across the holler from my church, amen, the next ridge over was the no-hell preachers. Amen. The no-hell preachers. Amen. They preached for years. Amen. They made fun of us of preaching on hell. Amen. Oh, God. Thank God there was a Vince Wilson one time that rode through this country and I preached on holiness or hell. Could you say amen? Oh, God help us. God help us. Amen. To preach. Amen. Oh, and then, over on the no-hell ridge, there were 28 homicides and suicides. Over on Road Ridge, not one. God have mercy. Hey, let me tell you, has it registered on your heart. Amen. In the last few weeks and months and years, maybe all the suicides we're having. Hey, I preached recently up in Indiana and made an altar service that night. And that I've never done this before or since. But I made an altar service for those thinking about committing suicide. Do you know there were 6 women that raised their hands, walked down the aisle and come to altar that were contemplating suicide? Oh, brother. Hey, brother, I tell you, I feel like it's more widespread than what you think. And I want you to hear this. Amen. For 46 years at Road Ridge, there was not one single divorce and remarriage. Oh, God. Oh. Amen. Why was that, Brother Mike? Amen. While one ridge they were over. Amen. I'll tell you what it was. It was a preaching of the Word of God. It was a man of God that would stand up there and warn them. Why them, amen, that if you die lost, you're going to a fire grave. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Exodus 25 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." I love to trade guns, and I ain't the best. I'm not the best, but I love to do it. And so one morning, I got up to go to Tazewell. I got up there and I made a bad mistake. I wore a white shirt. I never wear a white shirt to a flea market when I'm trading guns anymore. Walked up to this guy and he's just a beardy looking feller, and he had a Colt 45 for sale. And I stood there a few minutes and everybody was wanting to look at that Colt 45, and it was a beautiful gun. And I think I sold it. I finally did get it before I left, but I think I sold it to Sonny Horton. I think he's the guy that got that gun. But anyway, this guy looked at me, and he looked up and he cussed a little bit, and he said, "Listen," he said, "Preacher," he said, "are you an ATF agent?" And I said, "No, sir." I said, "No, sir, I'm a holiness preacher." And he said, in fact, he hurt my feelings. He cussed so bad. And he said, "Well," he said, "I just thought maybe you was one of them ATF agents, and I was going to let you know a thing or two." So I turned around and I walked off. And I went on down. I started looking at other things, knives and guns and stuff like that. And then after a while, it got a little late, and everybody started leaving the flea market. And that guy seen me leaving, and he said, "Hey, preacher, you still want that Colt 45? And I said, "Well, I don't know. And he came up to me and he said, "I'm sorry for talking like that, preacher." He said, "Could I talk to you a second?" I said, "Yeah, sure." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "The very reason I'm a-living with my wife this morning is because them old-time Church of God preachers preached on hell fire." And he said, "All of these years, when I got ready to do something like that, that would condemn my soul," he said, "that preaching would come back to me. Amen. That preacher up there, a-preaching on hell fire." He said, "Many a time I'd get down at my pew, amen, while that man of God was a-preaching. Amen. I said, oh, God, I don't want to go to hell." Oh, church, let me tell you, let me preach to you this morning. It has a restraining effect on people. When you know when you do it, you're not going to make it. You know, amen, when you sin that sin, you're not going to make it. It has a restraining force upon the people. Number two, amen. Number two, amen. Why preach on hell? My number two reason is because it is the most relevant message that you can preach on in the house of God. Why you say that, Brother Mike? Because we live in a Lot's day. Huh? I've got a message here for all the homosexual community. I said I have a message here for all the homosexual community. Amen. The preaching of hell. Amen. Is the most relevant message that a man of God can preach today. And here's why. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 23:33, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In Luke chapter 17, verse 28-29, this is what the Lord said. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Hey, Sodom! Exploded around us. Amen. I'm not preaching anything new. You know it has. Amen. But I tell you what scares me. Amen. It's right in the church. I said it's right in the church. My God, there's never been more of it. Amen. In all the annals of history. And I tell you what Jesus said. It's going to be like it was in the days of Lot. Amen. Do you know the Old Testament? Amen. The Sodomites got so strong that they joined their house to the house of the Lord. Amen. They had houses of prostitution joined right to the house of the Lord. But I want to tell you what Jesus said. Amen. In Genesis 18 and 20, this is what the Lord said about it. Not man. You say, well, you just got homophobia. No homophobia here. No. I'm not afraid of you. I hope you ain't afraid of me. But I'm going to tell you, I sure ain't afraid of you, Mr. Homo. And the Lord said, this is what God said. He said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous. It's not a mistake. Hollywood is doing its dead level best to make it accepted among the American people. And I want to say this right here. That is one reason that this preacher behind his pulpit, I decry television. I decry movies. I decry Hollywood. Amen. Because television and Hollywood has helped destroy this nation. Huh? Now, who would have thought? Who would have thought we would went from Abraham Lincoln? Who would have thought we would have went, amen, to some of the great men that led this nation to a guy that says, it's all right to be a queer. I say, it is an outrage. My God, amen. I will tell you something else. While the preachers are preaching, if you'd stand up and scream, that's right, preacher, then get the message. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, I preached at Bristow, Oklahoma one time, and I preached against the Gothard Seminar. I didn't know. I didn't have any idea that they was some of them were trying to take their homosexual a person to that seminar and try to get them straightened out. Oh God, I tell you something, Seth. A church, you don't get that straightened out. You get it blood washed out. Huh? If you can. God, hey, if you can. Oh, God, listen to me. Amen, this is what God says. Amen, I'm not trying to make you feel good about it. I don't want you to feel good about it. I want you to know if you die like that, if you die in effeminate, amen, a prissy acting something with a homosexual spirit on you, you're lost forever. Do you hear me? That's what this man of God is trying to say behind his pulpit. I don't want you to feel good in it. I want to tell you, God wants to save you if he can. Oh, God. That statement's not to me that God can't. God can. But I'm going to tell you something. There are those guys that passed the mark. Amen. They passed the deadline. Amen. They can no longer be saved. I'm sorry. Every one of these did. Listen to this. Let me get back to Hollywood just a second. I thought I felt I hit a stump there, and that's all right. I love stumps. Praise God. I love to dig them up. Hallelujah. Amen. When Hollywood is trying to depict this as just an alternative lifestyle, there's nothing wrong with you. You're all right. You're all right. When God's Word says you're all a double L wrong. Oh, God. Oh, God. And Genesis 19:3, this is what God said. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Genesis 13:13. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, in Jude, verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal hell fire. Right. Oh, God, listen to me. Amen. It got so bad. It got, and it's going to get worse. There's nothing bolder on the face of the earth than a homosexual. They are brazen. Amen. Oh, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to preach hell fire and tell them the same hell fire that fell out of heaven become a type. Amen. Of hell fire. The hell fire that was rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, God help me. Amen. Become a type of hell. That's the truth about sodomy. Let me tell you, young people. I prayed about this and prayed about this. And you parents ain't going to like this. But I'm not really preaching what you like of a necessity. But I feel like there are young people in this country that are flirting with homosexuality. I'm not going to tell y'all, I know. But I know more than I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, boys, keep your hands to yourself. Huh? Full body embraces? No. Huh? That's for husbands and wives. Huh? Full body embraces? Brother, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with holiness preaching. Amen. And I come here to preach this this afternoon. Amen. Keep your hands to yourself. Huh? Huh? Is that all right? God. Amen. Don't take that first, you know, to do stuff like that. You got to walk over top of something to get yourself involved in that kind of sin. That is why I preach, amen, that a cell phone is so dangerous. Huh? Let me tell you what. Get out there and you hear it, and the news is full of it. Amen. Churches, by God, have almost lost their standard anymore. And without, listen to me now. You can put that phone up there, and you can type your little deal in. You don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You can type your little deal in. One finger, you're connected with hell's best. One little finger. Huh? God. Amen. You know what? I could give out a challenge this morning in this church. I challenge every parent to go home and get the cell phone of their child and get somebody that is capable to search it. Woo! Laptop. Just one little finger, one little button. You're right there with Sodom and Gomorrah. All hooked up with it. We were never able to do that before. But now you can. I'll tell you what I would do. I would fear him that is able to cast both soul and body into hell. Oh, God, listen to me. Well, I preached to you about this. Amen. Amen. God said, I decry that sin. I hear it's down there. I'm going to go down there and look for myself. My God, if I find some homosexual sympathizers, they've had it. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the most relevant message that you can preach in our day. It does preach on hell fire. Young lady in one of our churches, she come up to me, and she didn't know what I was going to preach on. But she said, Brother Mike, she said, if there was more hellfire preaching in our church, she said, I don't think our young people would be as wicked. Oh, God. I'm going to ask you to do the unthinkable right now. I'm going to ask you to stand and pray for me while I get ready to preach the rest of this message. Would you? Amen. Would you stand? Glory to God. Amen. God help me. Oh, God. We should preach on hell, number one, because God told us to. Number two, it's a restraining message. Number three, it is so relevant for our day and hour. That is a way you explain the Bible to homosexuals. You tell them that there's a hell to shun. If you get wrapped up in that, if you get to liking it, you get to playing with it. Amen. Oh, my God, it ain't going to be long. Amen. When you don't fear, amen, to watch any. Hey, let me tell you something. Amen. My God, I'm against television. I decry it with all of my soul. Just because it has exposed that filthy sin to American public. Now, number four, we ought to preach on hell because it is so horrible. Oh, it is so horrible. Can I say this with all due respect? Listen to me. Don't let your people die lost and then go home and start praying for dreams that they went to heaven. Oh, God. Well, Brother Mike, I had a dream the other night. Oh, God, I hate it for you. My heart breaks for you. But that ain't going to cut it, church. That ain't going to cut it. Amen. Oh, God. The other day I was studying a verse of Scripture. I want you to listen to this. Matthew 25 and 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh. Do you know a lot about this, Brother Mike? I wished I did. Somewhere in hell, on the outer rim, the outer banks, amen, light years away, way, way, way off, there's a place called outer darkness. And when you get to that place called outer darkness, oh, what a horrible place. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like living by myself. I don't like it. I close that door. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You close that door and you're alone. Amen. No one to share your thoughts with. I love my wife. I'd have died for her 1,000 times to 1. If it just said, if Brother Mike, you want to die, just push it right there. I would have punched it 1,000 times. Amen. Or as many as I could till God got me out of here. Amen. I loved her with every fiber in my soul and heart. And I tried my best to prove it to her. I did. But I hate to be alone. I don't like it. I just don't like it. Amen. But oh, when you think, listen to me, preacher, listen to me, church. When you go to hell, there's a place there called outer darkness, and you're just there. You can't see. You can't feel. You're just there. You're right. There is no time. There is no, well, what time is it making? Maybe it'll be a little bit more bearable if I knew what time. No time. You're there. You had a chance to miss it all. But you're just there now. You're out there by yourself in the outer darkness. And after so long a time, I don't know when you reach this time. But after you're there so long of a time, you start gnashing your teeth. The pain of being in outer darkness. I come down the road, Brother Ken. Yesterday, me and Isaac was riding out of Kent's Ridge. He'd been right there in front of your house. It was a guy and a girl. They wrecked on a motorcycle. And she was just getting up out of the ditch when we got there. I didn't actually see them wreck, but they were there and the motorcycle was there. He was down in the ditch. She was tore all to pieces. He had her bruised from shoulders down to her wrist. But oh my, him. He was down in that ditch. Amen. I stopped the car. First thing I wanted to do is hit 911. Amen. And call him for help. And I said, my God, I ain't got time to do this. I threw the phone down and see. Forgot about Isaac being there. Later turned around. Isaac was right there. Amen. I run down there. And I jumped down in that ditch. And that guy was laying upside down, his head down. I got down in that ditch. And his blood was squirting out of his head. I got blood all over my head. But everybody else telling me it's that. I said, Almighty God, I tell you what I did, tried to do, Brother Ralph, pray him out of hell. I said, oh God, if I could get a hold of this guy, if you'll give me some help right here. Everybody else would tell you, I said, my God, I did not whisper. I did not whisper. I said, Almighty God, I want this guy to live. Would you let him live, God? I know he's a going to hell. Amen, my God, if he died, would you let him live? Oh, oh God, oh God, hey, I want to preach to you this morning, amen, when you go to hell, you're not in darkness, you're there by yourself for eternity, amen, oh God, John Paul told me, and I went and I looked this up and I studied it. There's something that NATO, Russia, and the others have experimented with called sensory deprivation. Somehow, some guy somewhere got to reading the Word of God about how horrible hell was, and he cracked up on this outer darkness. So he said, hey, this is a new way to torment people. This is one of the best ways in the world to torment them to death. Amen. Is with sensory deprivation. So he created a tank and a person inside. When they put them inside that tank, they lose all their senses just like they do in the outer darkness. You cannot see, smell, touch, hear, or taste anything. You're just there. They say that after 2 hours in this tank, anybody, I don't care who you are, what a bad dude you are, amen, if you're bad to the bone, the trick for them is to keep them from killing you, because nobody human on earth can stand it over 2 hours. You lose all your senses, sensory deprivation. Yeah. You're out there. My God, do you hear me this morning? Amen. If you miss heaven, if you fool around with the world too much, you're going to lose out with God. You hear me? We're not in a race to see how close we can live to the world and go to heaven. We're in a race to see how close we can live to God and go to heaven. Did you ever study Ephesians chapter 5, 26 and 27? When it says he's coming back after a bride without spot or wrinkle. Huh? Oh, God, listen to me while I preach to you. Woo, God, without spot. Hey, we're in a race to see how close we can get to God, not how far we can stay away from him. Oh, Lord, Lord, help us now. Amen. Little old boy was on his father's place. And out from his father's house, there was this huge power plant. And a little kid was 12 years old. He'd been there for quite some time. And he knowed that place was on his papa's place. But that after Sunday afternoon, there was nobody there. So he goes out and he climbs a wire. And he goes into that power plant. And he sees a bird's nest up on the side of one of those big producers. And he starts his little ascent up to get the eggs out of the bird's nest. And when he does, all of a sudden, he becomes a ground. And that electricity shoots through his body. They rush him to the hospital as quick as they can. And then they call the preacher. They said, "Preacher, please come as quick as you can and come to this hospital and pray for our little grandson." Little old grandson was laying there in the ICU when he got there. And the preacher said, "I was not prepared for what I was getting ready to see." He said, "I walked in there." He said, "And that little old baby boy was laying there without any appendages. That electricity had knocked his arms off and knocked his legs off of his body. He was just a stump laying there in that hospital bed." And that preacher said, "Oh God," he said, "I can see the pain that little old boy was in." He said, "I dropped my head. I said, God, oh God, could you take his life in just a few hours?" Amen. God answered that preacher's prayer. Amen. And he went on. He went on out of this world and died and out of all that pain. But could I tell you this afternoon, when you go there, they ain't nobody can pray that you're going to die. You're going to be there forever. Woo! You're going to be there forever and ever and ever. You're there forever. Now, oh God, I want you to help me. I want you to help me right here. Now, I want to say this. I want to say that what I'm getting ready to say is no reflection on any preacher. I didn't come by here this afternoon to dig anybody up. What I'm getting ready to say, I say with all humility of mind. I want you to understand that. I'm not up here to condemn anybody. I'm not up here, my God, to preach us all into hell. I'm not up here to do that at all. But I am up here to warn you. Oh, God, warn you. Sis, the next time you go to taking them clips, I'd think about that. I'd think about that. I'd think long and hard about that. I had this dream, and I'm not a dreamer. I'm not a dreamer at all. But I had this dream in September the 8th in 2007. And I'm not a dreamer at all. I hardly ever dream. I think I've had about 14 dreams since I've been a Christian. That when I woke up, I know God gave them to me. And it shook me. This dream right here shook me. I'm telling you, it shook me. I can't tell you. Oh God, I woke up. And what I do, my last dream I had was 2010. And I wrote it down just like I wrote this one down. Because it shook me. Oh God, I got up and I started seeking God. Oh, this is one of the worst. The one in 2010 shook me more than this one. But the one in September the 8th in 2007, oh God, it got a hold of me. And now let me tell you my dream. In my dream, I dreamed I went down to the mailbox and I got a flyer out of the mailbox, and it was by holiness preachers that we would all know. I got the flyer out. And I look, and it said, "We're having a seminar on hell." I said, "Oh boy." So, and it gave the date and the day and where it was at. And I said, "Lord willing, if God will help me at all, I am going to go to this seminar this seminar on hell." And then right at, well, let me tell you the rest of that. Yeah, so it come in my dream, I went to the a seminar, and I had me a notebook, and I was sitting back like you are this morning. I had my notebook and my pen down, and I wasn't one of the speakers, of course, but it had the speakers listed, and I got my notebook. I went in, I sit down, and the principal speaker that was over the seminar said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have all you ministers here today," and it was just packed out with holiness preachers, and it said, "We are here today, gathered. We are having a seminar to determine if holiness preachers ought to go on preaching on hell or not." And he said, "It's come to our attention. We don't think it's a good idea. We don't think it's a good idea to ever preach on hell. So we want to explain our position to you preachers and get you to cry all that preaching on hell." So they asked their first speaker to come. The first speaker got up, and he preached on, "It's out of step with our times." So I sit there, and I listened to him as he was preaching on, against us preaching on hell, saying anything about it. He said, "Hey, it's just out of step with our times. And we don't need that anymore." So the second preacher got up, and he takes his text. It's a Neanderthal gospel. It's too old. Nobody's going to believe that stuff, amen, anymore when you get up behind the pulpit. So he preached a while. He got down and got another preacher up. And he said, "The reason we need to quit is because you guys look like Hitler up there behind the pulpit. You're preaching a bloody gospel, a God killing people. We need to do better than that for our people." And then number five, he got up and he said, "Nobody believes that stuff today." And then number six got up and he preached on, "We need a kinder, more gentle theology to reach the people." And then the last one got up that evening. I'd sit there and listen to it all day long. And he said, "Listen, amen, nobody believes that stuff anymore. It's too terrible. People just don't believe it anymore." So the next morning, I woke up and in my dream. I don't know about this. I don't know. But I said, maybe I can go back. So the leader of the seminar got up and he said, "We've got Brother Mike Roberts here preaching for us this morning. And we want him to come." So from the pulpit, he asked me to come up and say what I had to say. And I got up behind the pulpit in my dream, and I grabbed a hold of the pulpit, and I looked at him. I was busted. I was busted out crying. I said, "Preachers, we can't do this. We can't do this. Brother, we can't do this. We have got to tell people the truth. The preaching of hell is as much the truth as the cross. Amen. If you tell people they have no punishment for their sins, we can't do that. There is a living hell." Right. Yeah. R.A. Torrey got up in 1907 in Los Angeles, California, and he said, "Brethren, believe," he said, "I am a Greek scholar." He said, "I know all the ancient languages." He said, "Trust me." He said, "I know the Greek languages." And he said, "There is a living, burning hell that men go to when they die." "Brother, we can't do this." I cried before those men. I begged them. I said, "Change your mind. Change your mind. You'll go there yourself if you preach this damnable heresy to our people. We can't have it." Oh, God. Oh, I wish you'd remember this preaching the next time it's church time and you want to go hunting or swimming or some vacation. I wish you'd remember this preaching. Oh, God. I pray. I woke up. I said, "Debbie, I've had the most terrible dream last night I have ever had in my life." Oh, she asked me what it was, and I told her. So I started praying. I said, God, why is this? Why did I have this dream?" I didn't get any answer. I prayed about it in 2007. I prayed about it in 2008. I prayed about it in 2009, 2010. I said, God, why did I have that dream? I say this with all humility of mind. I say this. What I'm getting ready to say, I say it with all due respect to everyone here. But in the early part of this year, I got my answer to my dream. And here you go. I counted it up as careful as I could. I counted how many services I've been in since 2007. I counted up all the services I've been in my church, all the youth camps, all the revivals, all the camp meetings, all the service that I could think of. I tried to count them up with the calculator. And I come up since 2007. I have been in 2,484 services. And not one message on hell nowhere. I have not heard. I've been all up down the East Coast. I've been to the center of the United States and back. And I have not heard one message on hell. And I felt like the Lord said, no, we never voted it out. We just quit. Now you may be in some court this weekend, some preacher preach on. I'm preaching from my experience. And I tell you what, from listening to the people, when's the last time you just, and you know why? It's that spirit, brother preacher, that you got to fight when you get up there and say that word, hell. Oh, hell comes against you. Oh, God. Oh, God, but I want to warn you. Hey, kids, I got to warn the children. I got to warn the righteous. If you're here, you're saved. I've got to warn you this morning. You're not going to make it. Hey, man, entangled with the world. And, oh, God, hey, man, going to every little old hell hole in the country. Oh, God. Oh. I say it with tears in my eyes. You better think about that before you do it. Oh. We're about not afraid to do nothing. We ain't afraid to go nowhere. We ain't afraid to mix with no crowd. You better fear him who hath power to cast both soul and body into hell fire.
Mama and Papa, who are you kidding? When you go on vacation, and you're away from a church, Brother Ralph's not watching you, Brother Mike's not there, some of these other preacher brethren are not there, you, listen to me, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. Listen to this preacher. You better listen to me. You're kidding yourself. When you take that kid in that motel room and you start watching don't you know they're getting a message? I may not get my message across, but you're getting your message across. It's all a joke. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. The preacher, he's a clown. He's a clown. He's up there just going on about ranting and raving about this. It's a joke. Huh? God be my helper. I'm not going to leave town and leave God behind. I'm going to take him right with me. I'm going to live out there just like I do back here. Oh, I'm through.